Hi, this is Jonathan Ariola with TDTF Pod, and now from some quotes from Robert G. Ingersoll. In nature, there are neither rewards nor punishments. There are consequences.
Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful week.
Again, you almost forgot to start talking.
I didn't forget. I was creating the anticipation.
No, you look like you forgot to start talking.
Well, luckily no one can see me, so you can't prove that.
Sure I can.
Anyways, did you have a nice week?
Not entirely. I've been sick all week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Getting better, but still not there yet.
I worked a lot.
Yes, you did.
That happens.
I was going to say, you seem to do that a lot lately.
Yeah. But I did more than just work a lot this time.
What?
I had a nice discussion with Jonathan Ariola, who provided us our quote this week.
Uh-huh.
And with Tucker from the Atheist in the Trailer Park podcast.
Oh, uh-huh.
So, yeah, that was good fun on New Year's Eve, New Year's
Day. Yeah, that's
day,
right.
Early. Yeah. So.
Yeah, middle of the night.
Yeah, too bad someone messed up the audio. Wasn't me.
I know you're not looking at me.
Wasn't me. So it was recorded, but it didn't come out right. So we won't get to hear that wonderful conversation.
Oh, really?
Oh, well. Oh. I still enjoyed it. Had fun. I got to talk to some people I've wanted to talk to for a while.
Yeah.
So good fun.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cool beans.
Anyway, we have some Twitterers.
We do.
We do. So it's a pretty good list this week.
Okay.
So it's Foundation Rafe Badawi.
Okay.
Trump Googles. Charles Jenkins. At What the Brain Sandwich Podcast, Daniel Peter, The Smoking Lamb, Crab Diving Network. I want to say, Crab Diving Network and Crab Diving Podcast are two different Twitter accounts. Okay.
Oh, okay.
And then we got Craig Lane, The Odd Podcast, The Naked Porch Podcast, MJ Moton.
I hope so.
Okay. Basement Condition, Delena Parton, Mia Chandler, GOP. Word of warning, if you have GOP in your handle, you're not going to like my tweets. Richard K. Page and Mike Tokes.
And hopefully you haven't messed up anyone's name, which it's a high possibility you could have.
I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah, yeah. Usually do.
Anyway.
Uh-huh.
I suppose we could do some news.
This is usually how we do it.
Well, I don't actually have a title for this.
Oh, that's not like you.
I know. I don't feel like titling this because it's on its own.
Okay.
We could call it Ken Ham.
Ken Ham.
Yeah, yeah. Ken Ham, a semi-regular topic on the show, has made his way back into our view, this time with a trifecta of insanity over the last few weeks.
Okay.
Let's start with something from December 20th.
Okay, fill me in.
He took an opportunity to attack the LGBT community while trying to reclaim the rainbow for God by lighting up his new Ark Park with rainbow colors for the holiday season.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, so he gave us a gay Ark.
That's what I was just going to say. Bigger... broader.
It wasn't even great rainbow. It was just like Easter colored LED.
Rainbows are primary colors. They're not supposed to be pastels.
It was just not good rainbow.
Okay, because there's good rainbow.
I don't even think it was in the right order.
Oh, that's a no-brainer, but then again, that makes sense for him.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, the rainbow itself wasn't designed to be a symbol of freedom, love, pride, or the LGBTQ movement. God created this beautiful color phenomenon and designated it as a sign of his covenant with Noah and his descendants forever. I'm not done.
Okay.
Sadly, people ignore what God intended the rainbow to represent and proudly wave rainbow-colored flags in defiance of God's command and design for marriage.
Wait a minute. That's what his design for the rainbow was?
Yeah. You remember the Noah story?
Yeah, he murdered everyone on the planet.
Uh-huh.
Or everything on the planet.
Uh-huh.
But he wants to display a rainbow afterwards to show
how much he loves
us. Them and, you know, unity of marriage.
And as a promise that he won't do it again. Or at least he won't do it by flood this time.
I was going to say, yeah, he'll just come up with something new.
Yes, he will. Anyway.
Yeah.
One of the problems with this, no one owns a rainbow. It's part of it's part of the nature of light.
Well, I was also going to say, does he not understand science and how actually those colors are made?
Only God can make rainbows.
Oh, bullshit. Yeah.
Say it. It doesn't
bullshit.
Matter. There you go.
I mean, come on. I just, I was religious once, but I was never really religious, so it kind of makes sense that I just don't get it now. I mean, being over here on this side and full-heartedly, it's like, oh my God, how stupid can you be?
I agree. And like you said, the rainbow symbolizes to us on this side the destruction of nearly all life on Earth.
Well, no, that's not what the rainbow does for me, but when he says it as far as God created it for this, that's how I see
it. From his perspective.
Right.
Us looking at it from his okay, that's too far down the rabbit hole. Sorry. where the LGBT community uses as a symbol of love and equality.
Right.
Right.
Now, to interrupt you. Yes, I am. For me, I have always been in love and a fan of the rainbow because I grew up in the 70s and 80s. All I did was wear and display rainbows everywhere. So
yeah.
It has more meaning to me than just the modern day everything.
Of course it does.
Religious or not religious
wise. You had like rainbow bright.
I had rainbow everything. Yeah. I even have rainbow sheets.
Yeah. See, there you go.
I love rainbows. Anyways, that's beside the point. Move on.
Okay. On to number two.
Okay.
The aforementioned Ark Park is expanding.
Is it?
Yeah, so much so. Wait,
why the hell is it expanding?
Well, let me get into it.
I thought it was failing.
Let me get into
Fine.
It.
Fine.
So much so that he has to raise money through the Creation Museum, the nonprofit Ham runs alongside the for-profit Ark.
No. Okay, there's a lot of problems with that, but go ahead.
The new ad is asking for donations, says this. I shared earlier this month that a $3.5 million of critical expansions are needed to accommodate the forecast of a record visitors at the Ark Encounter Creation Museum next year. Now,
there's so many things wrong with that statement.
Yeah. So let's start with the biggest one, and that's the word forecast.
Okay.
Okay, you can't forecast without previous data.
But it goes with the rainbow.
Not a weather forecast.
No, okay, first of all, I thought that the Ark Park was not doing well and did not do what it projected in the first place,
and that's,
let alone to forecast more to come.
Okay, so that's my next point. If it's doing so well, why can't it afford its own expansions?
Yeah, because it should be making lots of money.
Right, and who adds on to a theme park after based entirely on forecasts, especially since the park only opened this summer, last summer, right?
This past summer,
right.
Yeah.
Summer 2016, and has no historical data to project attendance from.
Right, it hasn't even been going a year yet. You can't do that. But let's step all that aside for a second. Now, I had an issue initially with the whole non-profit making money for the for-profit.
I agree with that as
well. Is it me or is there something not allowed to be happening there?
There is a very shady line that he's trying to cross, and I believe he's crossed it.
But it's shady or not, it's pretty like, no, you can't do that.
Well, he's been using this entire thing as a non-profit for-profit the whole time.
Yeah, why?
So he hires through the Creation Museum for the Ark Park, saying that they work for the Creation Museum, but they're loaned out or something to the Ark Park.
Yeah, how is he allowed to get away with that?
I don't know. Because the Creation Museum is actually paying them, which is how they get away with the religious discrimination, if I understand it properly. So,
but I don't see how, I mean, maybe I'm being stupid or something, but how is it they keep getting away with that? I mean, he's obviously doing shit he's not allowed to be doing. It's illegal.
Kentucky.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was a lot. That's that where that is?
Yeah, it's in northern Kentucky.
Oh.
North.
Either way. Kentucky, well, that was what was going through my head is the only way he could be getting away with this is that, you know, everything around him is for it.
Yeah, exactly.
So no one's pushing or questioning it or challenging it.
Which brings us, well, I can tell you why he believes that he can project attendance without any historical basis.
Okay,
because he
forecasts.
He believes there's this thing called historical and observational science.
So what? He doesn't have anything historical yet.
Well, that's just the thing. He says you can't base anything off of historical science.
But we can forecast.
Yeah. Anyway, but he ended this year with yet one more batch of pure ignorance, saying that, and this is a direct quote, "Secularists often misuse the word science when they use it to refer to the molecules to man evolution belief, and then also misapply it to refer to technology which is operational science, observation and repeatable testing, right?
So he's saying that secularists don't know what science is.
Yeah. And he goes on to say, you can't observe, test, or repeat the past. So historical or origin science isn't the same thing as observational science that can be directly observed, tested, repeated in the present.
Does he even hear himself talk?
Well, this is the same thing he tried to use against Bill Nye.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounded very familiar.
Well, he thinks there's two types of science, historical and observational, right? Uh-huh. And Bill Nye basically destroyed him saying, oh, really, there's only one type of science. And that is the testing whatever hypothesis you have. That's science.
Yeah.
It's not observational. It's not historical. Because geology is historical, in quotations, science, right?
Right.
But it also uses observation from the history that they see in the ground.
Right.
Right? So, yeah, it's observational science based upon what we see.
Right.
So, it's really strange.
I swear, he doesn't know half of what he's saying. He's just saying stuff to hear himself talk, I think.
Oh, yeah, he just goes on some weird tirade. Rant. Yeah, all the time. He finishes off the New Year Post with this line. Creationists are more than willing to distinguish between beliefs about origins and observable science that builds our technology. But secularists refuse to admit what are obviously beliefs. They just keep claiming their beliefs are, quote, science. They make these claims to attempt to brainwash people into believing the molecules demand evolution can be proven, which it most definitely can't.
Does he hear himself talk at all?
So.
Seriously.
So here's my thing with Ken Ham. Uh-huh. I think I have issues with people like Ken Ham and Ray Comfort and Eric Hovind and these obviously intelligent people, right? And the problem is,
I honestly think it's intelligent for scamming purposes.
And that's what I'm about to go through. These people have been told time and time and time again. Uh-huh. And they've been proven wrong time and time and time again. Yet they continue with this same old arguments. Every single time they bring up the same arguments. It makes me think that either they are completely ignorant.
Uh-huh. Or, although I don't see how, because they've been corrected and yet still choose not to follow through.
It's one of three options. They're completely stupid and can't get it, right? Uh-huh. Which I don't believe, right? They want to remain willfully ignorant because they have to believe in their God.
Yes.
Or they know they're scamming people and they can't get out.
Okay, so for the ones you just mentioned, I think it's option three, but for your common religious person,
right.
I think it's option two.
Right, for your common, normal Christian, mm-hmm. even the creationist, right? Uh-huh. Your average creationist, it's number two. That's right. They're being willfully ignorant in order to remain Christian.
Right.
But
to justify that they believe this.
With these guys, there's no way they can still believe this wholeheartedly after they have been proved, especially if they say they like science and they want to get to the truth, right? And then they continue with this line.
Well, right, and that's what I was going to say. And like you said, they're probably pretty smart in the aspect that they understand how to manipulate. They understand that they really probably aren't buying the shit that they're selling, but it sells and it does what they want it to do, and that's why they continue to do it.
Right. And that's what bothers me about these guys. They're hucksters. They're shysters.
It's a pyramid scheme.
Well, it's not even that. They're snake oil salesmen.
Well,
they really are.
Yeah, I just kind of see it all the same. But yeah, that's exactly what they are. It's a modern day snake oil, you know?
It's really what it is. And it's what it always has been.
Well, come on. Look how much churches freaking pull in. Don't tell me that's not a business.
Yeah.
Because for those that are in the higher up positions, church is all about the business.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's not about the religion shit. It's about the power and the money. And that's all it's about.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. The millions of dollars that they pull in is just ridiculous.
I agree.
Tax-free.
Tax-free.
Yep.
Hey, y'all. This is Tucker from the Atheist in the Trailer Park podcast. And I might live in a beer can, but I ain't no inbred redneck. And if you listen to my podcast, I'm going to learn you something. And no, I ain't talking about how to marry your cousin and not have kids with 16 fingers and stuff like that. I mean, I actually talk about real stuff and teach people where the Bible stole its stories from. So y'all give me a listen, would you? Thank you.
Good evening. Don't be startled, children. I will be filling in as Storytime Counselor. So sit back, get comfortable. My story begins on a night just like this one.
Yay, it's science time.
It's science time.
Yay.
Or this week's why you spent New Year's Day on the toilet.
Okay. Science gone gross.
Nah, yeah, okay. Some of you spent a great deal of time December 31st taking in lots of liquids and January 1st expelling a lot of liquid.
As in the alcohol type you're referring
yes,
to?
Yes, and then the not-so-alcoholic type on the other side.
Yeah.
Scientists don't entirely understand what causes hangovers, but every over-imbiber knows its effects. Puffy skin, headaches, nausea, and the feeling when you drink water that you just straight-up guzzled acid. And any regular drinker knows the agony and ecstasy of the hangover poop.
The hell is that?
Science. It's timely science, and it ties in with our Ingersoll quote.
Oh. But seriously, hangover poo?
Yeah. Next day diarrhea isn't universal, and for some, alcohol actually causes constipation. But it's common enough that it has some well-known and rather unendearing nicknames. The beer shits or the day after drinking shits, otherwise known as dads.
I did not know this.
Well, now you do. This is why we have the science section. To educate.
Yeah, this is fun education. Okay.
Well, to start, you have to understand how the body processes alcohol.
Okay.
Food breaks down in the mouth and stomach before nutrients are absorbed into the bloodstream through the small intestines. Alcohol, on the other hand, bypasses some of that system, splashing down into the stomach, which absorbs about 20% of the alcohol.
Uh-huh.
The rest moves to the small intestine, which absorbs the remaining alcohol and sends it along to the liver to metabolize.
Right.
While your liver processes the equivalent of about one drink per hour, the rest of the alcohol circulates through your blood system, which is why you get drunk.
Yeah.
The faster you drink, right?
I don't drink much anymore, so when I do drink, it's a quick process when I start to feel it.
Yeah. Diarrhea is a common side effect of diuretics, but alcohol also inhibits the absorption of liquid into your bowels.
So let me get this. Is this when you have a hangover that this occurs?
Well, yeah, when you drink too much.
When you drink a lot. I haven't done that since high school, so well,
yeah,
no clue on this one.
Well, this is pretty common for people who drink a lot.
Okay.
We don't drink a lot, but I figured this was good information for those that knew.
It's just because it was New Year's and everybody drinks on New Year's.
Now, that last part, absorbing, it inhibits absorption of liquid into your bowels. That's important later on.
Okay, take notes.
Plus, when you've been pounding alcoholic beverages and hopefully some water, your body has to process much more liquid than usual. And all the while, the rest of your GI tract is getting wrecked, too. Alcohol affects the muscles surrounding your stomach and intestines, particularly those that hold onto food for digestion.
Okay.
It also reduces contractions in the rectum, which might reduce the transit time and thus compaction.
Okay.
The compaction of the food in your large intestine, which again can cause diarrhea. So you've got this weird combination of the inability to absorb liquid through your bowels.
Uh-huh.
You've drunk a lot more liquid, and now your food's not getting processed properly to make solid feces, right?
Okay, sure.
Add to that, the kind of food usually eaten while drinking are not exactly high on the nutrition scale.
Yeah, like chips.
Those bar-level chili cheese fries are likely to cause a case of explosive diarrhea on their own. Taken together, you basically created a small bomb in your intestines just waiting to go off.
Okay. This is ridiculous.
Well, this is the science I came up with this week.
Okay.
It was...
Maybe it'll make you think twice about getting plaster.
But all is not lost.
Uh-huh.
Next time you want to avoid next day effects of alcohol, be sure to eat a balanced meal, stay hydrated, and drink less over longer periods of time.
Yeah, sure. That'll happen when you're out partying.
I'm just saying.
God, I think the last time I got really drunk and was partying, I sure as hell didn't think of what the hell I was eating. That was like the last thing on my mind.
That just shows a major difference between you and me.
I was a partier and you weren't?
Well, aside from that, I always made sure to eat properly before I went drinking.
I don't even remember most things. I'm sorry, when you are totally plastered, time is so different than normal. It doesn't work the same way.
Oh, I'm aware of that.
I mean, learned that the hard way.
I haven't been rightly drunk in...
I think when we were early in our relationship, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like 23 years ago?
Well, maybe a little less than that. Probably like, I think the twins were born already.
Yeah, we were partying over at a friend's house.
Yeah.
Yeah, good parenting skills there.
We didn't have the twins with us, so it didn't matter.
Oh, we didn't?
No, they were at the grandparents.
Oh,
okay. We weren't horrible parents.
Well, okay, if you say so.
So, yeah, that's the last time I really got good and drunk. And then I never got a hangover, so yeah. I don't understand this whole concept.
Yeah, see, I've gotten way drunker than that. I got so drunk at a high school party. I did a lot of house parties and stuff. So one party my senior year, I got so drunk, I never knew time worked the way that it does when you're drunk. It's so weird. I don't need to go into details, but time can change.
So there you go. There's some history to us. We used to drink a lot. Stupidly.
And now we're old and we don't drink much at all.
Yeah.
Boring.
Has N'Gat We Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster N'Gat We Trust on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an N'Gat We Trust decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
Potter.
Yep, Potter Award. Okay. This week, we're going back to Mississippi.
Okay.
I don't think we've been there for a while.
No, and it's an easy place to go.
Oh, yeah. But we have a really nice one for you this week.
Okay.
That is State Representative Tom Miles.
Okay.
Who decided to go ahead and throw out the first volley on the War of Christmas a full 367 days early.
Really? Christmas? Yeah. For what, 2017?
Yes.
Jesus.
On December 23rd, he announced that he had pre-filed a bill for 2017 in the Mississippi House called the Merry Christmas Law.
A Merry Christmas Law filed in January?
No. In December, year before it can take effect.
That's what I meant. Yeah. But really?
Yeah, that's why I said he fired the first volley way early.
God, we're going back to Christmas crap again.
Well, it's necessary.
All right, finish your story.
All right. From his announcement on his official Facebook page, this bill will allow school districts to display scenes or symbols associated with traditional winter celebrations on school property, including a Christmas image such as a Christmas tree or nativity scene.
Oh, yes, I remember this. I got really pissed off about the Christmas image being a Christmas tree. I have so many things to say about that.
It's not Christian image.
It's not a... No.
It's a pagan image.
He calls it a Christmas image.
I know. It's Christmas image. You know what he's saying. Christian image.
Yeah, of course he is.
But he can't put Christian in the bill.
They were, you know, doing parties and decorating the tree way before the freaking Christians took over the whole let's celebrate Christmas and Jesus' birthday shit.
All right. But I got a little more quote from him.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal here is to give everyone the freedom they deserve to say Merry Christmas, but not to encourage adherence to any particular religious belief. I hope to see all my other colleagues join in and co-sponsor this bill in January.
So he just wants to be able to say Merry Christmas to people and not get yelled at? Is that what his point is?
Here's the deal. You can.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Who says he can't? Do you know how many people say Merry Christmas to me? Oh my God, especially when you're shopping. All I do is say, same to you, or, you know, whatever.
Well, to be fair, this is in schools. But they're allowed to say Merry Christmas in school.
Yeah, nobody is saying that they can't say Merry Christmas.
What they're saying is you can't put religious slogans up on the wall.
Which is, I think, from what it sounds like, his underlying goal.
He wants to put a nativity scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wants to do the religious aspect of it is what he's shooting for.
This is roughly the same law that's passed in Texas and other states over the last few years.
Uh-huh.
The bill simply allows schools to offer traditional greetings such as Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, or Happy Holidays, and allow the use of traditional symbols like nativity scenes or Christmas trees, providing other religious or secular symbols that were used as well, which is already the rule.
I was going to say, this is nothing new.
No, this is...
Which most public schools opt to just ixnay all of it, I think, for the most part.
It depends on where the school is. So a lot of them will put up Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, something like that. And most people...
Happy Holidays, I think I say a lot.
And most people don't have a huge issue with it.
Right.
What brings up the huge issues is when you start putting up nativity scenes or Bible quotes along with it.
Right.
Without allowing for another symbol.
Right.
Right.
Right. Which, you know, look at the Satanic Temple in Florida, how much problems they're having trying to just put up a symbol.
Well, yeah, I was going to talk about that, but kind of forgot. So now's a good time to say that it has been vandalized 8 times in the past few weeks.
What? A couple of weeks? Yeah.
8 times they destroyed the Satanic. We,
which is the same. This is the same story we covered a little while ago.
3 times.
And at one point it was chained down with like big farm chains and somebody drove a truck and ripped it out or something.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Anyway.
But anyways, yeah.
Yeah. Here's the problem. This law is useless, right?
It's a waste of time. It already exists.
It already exists as the First Amendment.
Yeah, exactly. But, and I think his point is getting it into the public schools. But the thing is they can do that as long as they're all inclusive in right. the public schools. And like you said, they just can't start putting up, you know, religious crap of anyone's religion.
Right.
Not just theirs.
But we're not done with him yet.
Okay.
In 2012, he introduced a constitutional amendment in the House that would redefine the word person to start at the moment of conception, essentially making abortion in the state a punishable crime.
Seriously?
Yeah. He did, however, put some in the provisions that allow for some birth control, which stated specifically, this section shall have no effect and shall not be construed to prohibit contraceptives or other methods of birth control that do not kill a person.
So, okay, so let me get this. He doesn't want the abortion, but he's going to allow contraception, is what he's saying.
Providing it doesn't kill a person.
So no morning after pill kind of thing.
Yeah, if you take the definition of person from the constitutional amendment, because that is not the current definition of person.
Uh-huh.
You know, personhood is construed when you are actually born.
Right, and breathing oxygen.
Yes.
Right.
So that's one.
Uh-huh.
Very frustrating. So he really wanted to end abortion in Mississippi.
They always think that they're, you know, some separate little country.
Yeah. Also, in 2012, he proposed another constitutional amendment that would have limited... luckily, I wanted to put this in there. That constitutional amendment died in committee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Also, in 2012, he proposed another one that would have limited the power of the governor to grant a pardon or reprieve in the last 90 days of his administration.
Really?
Yeah. Essentially stripping the governor of one of the powers given in the state constitution.
So, he just wants to do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, he wants to make sure that... some activist governor can't just go around handing out pardons and taking people off death row, right?
Uh-huh.
Because they're not being reelected, so they don't care.
Right.
But that's not the job of the legislature to restrict the job of the governor.
Right.
I mean, we see this in other places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like they haven't restricted Obama in some way.
I knew that's where you were going.
Or, you know, some other stupid state hadn't tried to pass laws to restrict the ability of the governor to do his job.
Mm-hmm. I remember
North
that.
Carolina.
Yeah, I was going to say, that rings a bell.
He added a line. The legislature, by general law, may require the governor to notify certain officials and other persons before the governor exercises the power to grant reprieve or pardon. Not only would they take away his ability to do it in the last 90 days,
uh-huh.
he would have to ask permission during the rest of the year.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
What's the point of having him then?
It's always been the job and the responsibility of the governor to grant those pardons. I mean, that's part of the separation of powers.
Right.
Yeah.
Although he wants to walk over all of it.
Again, this one died in committee.
As it should.
But by far the worst bill he has ever suggested is the one in 2015 where he tried to get the Bible codified as the official state book of Mississippi.
Now that's funny.
Yeah. And here's the bill, or part of it. The following shall be codified as section blah, blah, whatever. The Holy Bible is hereby designated as the official state book of Mississippi.
Wow.
That one also died in committee.
One would assume so.
He tried again in 2016.
Same thing.
Twice under two different bills. One as a sponsor and one as a co-sponsor.
He isn't getting the message, is he?
No. Again, these died in committee.
Uh-huh.
Which brings up an interesting point.
Okay.
Based on my research, he has a terrible track record for sponsoring and co-sponsoring bills that even made it out of committee, much less actually became laws.
So he's wasting time.
He's wasting time. He's wasting money. He's
uh-huh.
he's ineffective.
You're right. And why is he still there?
I'm not sure. I didn't run the exact numbers, but it looks like he has less than a 50% success rate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but failing to get your job done more than 50% of the time generally is a bad thing.
Usually you get fired for that.
Usually. It appears that the only thing he manages to get passed on a regular basis are fluff bills that commemorate a former politician or congratulate a local sports team on sportsing really well.
Of course.
His record is full of tax exemptions for favorite charities, churches, and one that would create a tax-free weekend for firearms and ammo sales.
Oh, there's a good idea.
All of these died in committee.
Yeah.
He also has quite a bit, like the mentioned earlier, that are unnecessary and would restrict the rights of others.
Again, how does he still have this position?
Mississippi.
Yeah, I get it.
So here's the weirdest part, though. It's his political affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
You would have think this whole time I was talking about a Republican.
Oh, really?
I am talking about a Democrat.
Yeah, well, what can you say?
But it makes me wonder if he's really just a leftover Dixiecrat.
Yeah.
Because he acts like a Republican.
I thought.
There's a term for these. They're called dinos.
Mm-hmm.
Democrat in name only.
Oh, okay.
So he probably lives in a heavily Democratic district, right? Uh-huh. And has been Democratic historically, right?
Right.
So he's registered as a Democrat in order to get the uneducated and, you know, party line voters.
Uh-huh.
So, that guy's a Democrat, we'll vote for him, because no one ever checks their local stuff.
Yeah, I don't understand the whole system when you vote and not look up who the hell you're voting for.
There are so many people out there who will just vote straight down the party line.
That's ridiculous. You need to vote for their actions, not who they say they are or whatever. It's all about actions.
Right. So I honestly think he's really a Republican that's masquerading as a Democrat.
Yeah.
Honestly. Which makes him a super Potter. Not exactly. But I think that's pushing it. Yeah, because one person gets a super Potter award. We announced that last week.
Yeah, we already know who that is.
But it definitely deserves him the Potter award for this week.
Yeah, well, my gosh. First of all, he's a waste of time for his position. A waste of money for all the things that he keeps trying to pass and fails relentlessly. And then he keeps trying to pass the same crap over and over again.
Yeah, it's like he doesn't learn. So, yeah, I think he's a Republican.
Right. We don't know what lose means. We will stay in this till we win. Because that's what they do.
Or they're going to put up mission accomplished before it's actually done.
Or, yes, that too. We'll pretend that we won.
Yeah. And that is all the yakking I got for you this week.
That is definitely enough for me today.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye!